in the remaining time we have, I just want to briefly consider something. We talked this morning about our motivation, why we share the gospel with other people. We talked about that this morning. Excuse me. Tonight, I want to just look a little bit at our perspective. Our perspective as we think about sharing the gospel with other people. If you'll turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. As we've been traveling on deputation, every now and then, funny things just happen. It's kind of the nature of deputation. As we travel from place to place, it's hard not to run into funny situations, funny circumstances. And sometimes they're just funny. And other times, there's something that as we're looking back and we just kind of chuckle about it, we realize that, you know, the Lord might be trying to teach us something through that. And that's the blessing about it. Sometimes the Lord teaches us something through things that just happen in life. One of the funny things that happened was we were over in West Virginia, and we were door knocking, and this assistant pastor and I were out door knocking, and we went to this one house in West Virginia. Door knocking in West Virginia is totally different than door knocking in New England. Door knocking in New England, you walk up and you knock at a house in Vermont, you're like, and they open the door. What? We're from Tri-State Bible Baptist? No. Okay. Have a good day. West Virginia, you go door knocking, it's like, hello? And you're like, hi, we're from, at that point it was Faithway Baptist Church, I think it was. And they're like, oh, hey, how you doing? And, you know, it's like they're all, you know, want to come in for some sweet tea? And no, I'm good. But we're talking to this lady, and she was really friendly. She was enjoying talking to us, and it was sort of refreshing because they were actually friendly. And so we're talking to her, and she said she was saved. She said she knew Jesus Christ as her Savior. And so he said, I'm Brother Aaron Miller. This is Brother Preston Smith, missionary to Japan. She goes, okay. And so as we're leaving, she says to him, thank you for coming and talking to me. And then she looks at me, and really loud and really slow, she goes, good to have you in our country. And I'm like, thank you. And we're walking away. And as we're walking away, it clicks with me that, oh, she thought he said I was Japanese. But I still couldn't figure out how that worked because I don't usually get mistaken for a Japanese. So I was trying to process. He's saying, brother, you should have been like, arigato, mata kimasu, which is like, thank you, I'll be back. And I'm like, brother, I would have, but that is the first time anybody's mistaken me for a Japanese. It doesn't usually happen. Usually there's a height issue. But that was just one of those humorous things that happens while we're on deputation, and I didn't really learn anything from that. I just thought it was interesting. But our home base was in Vermont, and last year as we traveled, our average trip took us about 6 hours. And so anytime we had a shorter drive, like 2.5 hours, 1.5 hours, it was really nice. It was just real refreshing just to have to drive a short little distance and go to a church. So our home base was in Vermont. We had a meeting scheduled in Woodsville, New Hampshire. And I was to go over there, and the pastor had given me the address of the church. I was heading over, and I used Google Maps to get the directions. And I didn't have a GPS at this point, and this story is part of why I have one now. But I had started, and I did Google Maps, and it said that from where we were in Townsend, Vermont, to Woodsville, New Hampshire was 1.5 hours, which was great. I typed in the church's address, which was Calvary Baptist Church, 20 Elm Street, Whitefield, New Hampshire, and it said 2.5 hours. No. It said I was supposed to go to Whitefield, New Hampshire. It said Calvary Baptist Church was in Whitefield, New Hampshire. The pastor's letter said it was in Woodsville. GPS or Google Maps said it was in Whitefield. And I thought, man, and I typed it in several times. I tried and I tried and I tried to figure out why it wasn't matching or what I was doing wrong, and I could not figure it out. It kept telling me I needed to go to Whitefield, and I looked on the map. Everything matched up. It said I was trying to go to Calvary Baptist Church. That was right. It said it was 20 Elm Street. That was right. It said it was in New Hampshire, which that was right. It even showed on the map that it was the right road. It was just farther down the road. And so I thought maybe it's a name thing. Anyway, so I got on the road. We gave it an extra hour, and we drove into Whitefield, New Hampshire, and we looked for Calvary Baptist Church on Elm Street. We did not find it. We found 20 Elm Street, and it was just this little patch of grass, and we did not find Calvary Baptist Church. And so I did what we men are not wired to do. I stopped at the gas station, and I asked for directions, and they didn't know where it was either. And so I finally buckled down, and I didn't want to, but I called the pastor, and I said, "Pastor, I think we're lost." He says, "Where are you?" I said, "Whitefield." He said, "Whitefield? You're an hour past us." I said, "It figures." He said, what route did you go?" And I told him what route we took, and he says, "You went within a block of us." I said, "It figures." He said, "Just, you remember that gas station you passed about an hour before you got to where you are?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, I remember that gas station." He said, "You take a left there, you would have been, you're a block from us." I said, "Okay, we'll be there in an hour." So we headed back, and we made it. And, you know, it was kind of humorous after the fact that I went 2 hours out of my way because I didn't actually check with him because I couldn't figure out the directions. But as I was chuckling about it after and I'm thinking about it, it made me stop and think. And I just want to share with you what the Lord shared with me concerning that situation. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll read verses 1 through 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. It says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this evening, Lord, please guide my words. Help me to be a blessing and an encouragement to these folks, and help me to speak clearly what you would have me to speak, and just bless this time, Lord. Thank you for all your goodness to us, the blessings you've given us already today, and help us to honor you and go out tonight ready to reach out more towards souls for you. Guide this time now, Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we see in this passage, it says in verse 4, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." And I want to focus today on the fact that there is a false deity in this world, the God of this world, the false God of this world. The devil is blinding people's minds to the truth of the gospel. And he's doing a wonderful job at it. If we look throughout this world and we look across the religions of this world, and we see even here in America, the cults that the devil uses to keep people distracted from the things of God. If we look in John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And so there is only one way to get to the Father, and that is through Jesus Christ. And there's only that way to get to heaven, and that is through trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then the Bible is clear that you are going to go to hell. And that is not because God does not love you. He made a way for you to go to heaven. But there is only one way to get there, and that is through his son, Jesus Christ. And the devil knows this. And so he makes all these religions and all these different things to keep people distracted from the truth of God's word. And he's doing a marvelous job of it. As you look throughout, and in Japan, we see a lot of the same cults you have over here. Jehovah's Witnesses are very effective in Japan. And they have full parking lots every Sunday. I'm about ready to make my dad tear his hair out. You know, he's just like, why do they have full parking lots and we have such a hard time getting people? And I firmly believe it is because the Jehovah's Witnesses, much of what they teach relies on a works-based salvation. You have to earn your salvation. You have to work your way to heaven. And to the Japanese person, that appeals to them. They have to work and earn it. And a Japanese man tell me, "It's just too easy to accept Jesus Christ. All I have to do is accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's too easy." There's nothing easy about it. Jesus Christ had to make the ultimate sacrifice. Not only did he have to die for us, he became sin. He became the very thing his heavenly Father hated for us so that we could go to heaven. Jesus Christ had to pay the ultimate sacrifice in more ways than we even imagine. There was nothing easy about our salvation. All we have to do is accept it, yes. But there was nothing easy about the process that had to be fulfilled in order for our salvation to be accomplished. In fact, it was so difficult, we couldn't do it ourselves. Jesus had to do it for us. And yet, people are blinded by that. They are expected. They think they can earn their way to heaven. They can work their way to heaven. And so people constantly are blinded by the devil. The devil uses many different things to keep people distracted. He will use hobbies. He will use entertainment. He will use sports. He will use false religions. He will use all these things to keep people distracted from the truth of God's word. And he has blinded their minds. The devil is working hard on people in this world. False deity. But he's also given people false directions. He's giving people false directions. In Proverbs 16:25, it tells us, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And as we see the path that the people in this world are taking, the Bible tells us clearly that people, that the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Anything else you trust in is going to result in dying and going to hell. That is what the Bible clearly tells us. And so the end thereof is the ways of death, as the Bible tells us. And the Bible also tells us in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." As we share the gospel with people, as we go out and we witness, and we work with people, and we share the gospel and try to tell them what Jesus Christ has done for them, oftentimes we don't see the results we desire right away. If we've been sharing the gospel, if we've been witnessing for any length of time, it often becomes apparent that not everyone trusts the Lord right like that. And it can be discouraging for many people. I know my mom has been praying for my grandparents longer than I've been alive. She's been praying every day for her parents to come to Jesus Christ and know him as their Savior. And to the best of my knowledge, they still have not done so. But she's been trying. And that can get discouraging. If you've been praying for anyone for any length of time, and you've been trying to give them the gospel, and there's just no fruit, there's no evidence at all that they are softening or that they are considering turning to Jesus Christ, that can be discouraging, it can be heartbreaking, and there can be times where it's just like, you know what, I just want to give up. There were five boys I grew up with in Japan. Their names were Akitaya, Toyama, Hasegawa, Motoki, and Tatsuya. And every day I would pray for those five boys when I would pray, I would say, "Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Please save Akitaya, Toyama, Hasegawa, Motoki, and Tatsuya." And I would pray for these boys every time I prayed. I would pray and I would pray and I would ask the Lord to save them. And after a while, they weren't very nice to me. And over time, you know, it just got to the point where slowly it started to fade. I might pray for them once in a while, but over time it just got to the point where, you know what, I just gave up. I stopped praying for those boys. And now I think of them, but it's easy to do. It's easy to give up. It's easy to get discouraged and stop praying for people. It's easy to say, you know what, they've hurt my feelings. I'm not going to share with them anymore. I'm tired of them telling me no. Whatever the reason it is, it's easy for us to give up and stop sharing the gospel with someone that isn't responding the way we wish they would. But I want to encourage us tonight on our perspective. As we look at the people around us and we remember that the God of this world has blinded their minds, the God of this world is giving people false directions. As we look at people that are being brought up in this world, they are being given different world views. They're being taught that the world just evolved. That things, you know, however you are is fine. You can do whatever you want. There's no repercussions. You live however you want. You just, however you want to do things is fine. And that's what people are being taught. The Bible says there's only one way. People are saying, no, you do however you want. And we wonder why people don't just grasp the gospel right away. They're being given false directions. They're being taught from children that what they're doing is fine, that the traditions of their religion, that the traditions of their worldview are going to get them to where they want to go. And in Japan, the Shinto religion, the Buddhist religion, they're teaching people that if you pray to your ancestors and you do this and you do that, then you will please them, you will have good karma, you will come back in the next life as a better class of status or whatever the case may be. And they're following these false directions that are given them. As I was traveling from Vermont to New Hampshire that day, you know, I didn't have any doubts that I was on the right track. Because I had the printout. I had the directions all printed out for me. And they were very clear on how I was to get from my house in Vermont to the church in New Hampshire. Now, the church wasn't there. But I was confident the whole way. I didn't have any doubts. I wasn't looking around saying, I wonder if I can find better directions somewhere. I wouldn't have listened if someone had told me I was on the wrong path, probably, because I had the directions. I was fine. I was happy with where I was going. I was confident that I was going to get where I needed to go. But the fact of the matter was, they were wrong directions. And when I got to my destination, I realized it was a false destination. It was not where I meant to be. And there was I didn't get real scared or anything, but there was a moment of, uh-oh, where did I go wrong? Because I had followed the directions. I had done everything that the paper told me to do. And when I arrived at my destination, I had no idea what I had done wrong. And you know, folks, all around us, there are people that are following the traditions of the religions that they've been raised in. They are just doing what they've been taught. They've been taught it's fine to do whatever they've been doing, and they're not being taught about sin, that the Bible says there's only one way to heaven. And so they're just doing what they've been trained to do. They're just doing what they've been taught. And as they pursue this, we have to remember, because sometimes it's easy to say, you know what, I'm going to give up. I'm not going to share the gospel with these folks. I'm just going to say, forget it. I've tried, and I'm just tired of doing it. It's easy to say that. But when we remember that they're just doing what they've been taught, and that it's going to lead them to a false destination. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. In verse 21. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, it says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And what we see here is people that thought they were doing what they needed to do, and they were counting on this. Think about the Jehovah's Witnesses, folks. They have taken the name Jehovah's Witnesses. They have done everything they do is in the name of Jehovah. And yet when they get to heaven, because they missed that simple truth of Jesus Christ saying, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. They're going to stand there and say, look, we did all of this. And yet because they did not come to God through his Son, he's going to have to say, depart from me, for I never knew you. And folks, if we get this into our heads that people are headed for a false destination. They're headed for a place they don't want to go. And when I followed the false directions and I got to New Hampshire, there was a moment of, where did I go wrong? And folks, all around us, there are people that are going to go into eternity not realizing where they went wrong. They're not going to know. They're going to say, why am I here? And our job is in this life is to say, we know where they're going. We as Christians, we who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we can see the danger that is ahead. We can see that people are going to either go to heaven or hell, and it's based on what they choose to do with Jesus Christ as their Savior. Jesus Christ here on this earth, whether or not they accept him as their Savior or reject him, that is what makes all the difference. And we know this. They may not. And so our job is to share this with folks because eternity hangs in the balance. I just want to give us tonight a perspective to think about what is coming. We know what's coming. The people that are just following the directions they've been given in this life, the guidelines they've been given in this life, they're not aware. We know the danger that's coming, and our job is to share it with them. There was an evangelist that would constantly, every time he'd get on a plane, he would give a tract to the stewardess. And one time he got on a plane and he handed a tract to the stewardess. He said, would you read this later? And she said, okay. And she put it in her pocket and she came to him during the flight, and she said, can I sit next to you? She goes, I've got a question for you. She said, I've gotten six of these in the last 3 weeks. What is God trying to tell me? He said, I think God's trying to tell you you need to get saved. And he was able to lead that stewardess to the Lord on that flight. And a few weeks later, that same lady was on one of the flights that crashed into the World Trade Center, and she lost her life. And when my dad heard that story, he contacted the evangelist. He said, is this all true? Is this the way it happened? And the evangelist said, yes, sir, that's the way it happened. He said, and it's amazing timing the way the Lord worked that whole thing out. He said, but my biggest concern, brother, is what if we had stopped at track number 5? It was the sixth tract that made her stop and say, what is the Lord trying to tell me? Folks, we don't know what it's going to take in someone's life to make them realize that I need Jesus Christ as my Savior. I need something in my life. We don't know what that turning point will be in their life. It's going to be different, each and every one of ours. Each person is different. But it could be that the person we've been working with, all they need is one more tract. All they need is one more invitation to church. All they need is one more question, like, do you know what will happen to you if you go into eternity tonight? It could be that's all it'll take. But I just want to encourage us tonight to look from a perspective of knowing what is coming and realizing people around us are just doing what they've been taught from the time they were little, that just however they are is fine, and that there's no responsibility, there's no God. And when we see it in that light, that they are just doing what they've been taught, we can have a new energy, a new desire to see them come to Christ, because they are just following blindly down a path that leads to destruction, and we can see that. So I just want to encourage us tonight not to give up, to be encouraged, and to have a perspective to reach souls. Pastor.